I'll give you a title and it'll explain itself as we go. The title is going to be From Trash to Treasure. Have you ever looked in awe at something that had been restored to its original condition, a splendor? Wondering how on earth it could look and feel that way. Sometimes restoration is better than the original, because the time intensity involved to make it so. Keep this in mind as we get close to the end, this what I just said. Sometimes restoration is better than the original because of the time intensity involved. If it's been restored, it must have been in some form of disrepair from the original state. We have empty houses, palatial homes, sitting empty, maybe just a few years or maybe for decades, until someone comes along to bring them back to life, so to speak. This is restoration on a major scale at minimum. Old cars part, sometimes stacked up, waiting to be salvaged. How many have ever been to a salvage yard for a car? Well, most of us have been. They're waiting to be salvaged. Many of these are lots are hence called salvage yards, which most men, and probably not just a few women, have also in this room have browsed at one time or another, looking for spare parts for their vehicle, maybe even a vehicle to restore. Maybe someone salvaged an old Ford I used to have. I spoke about this several years ago. And an old Ford that I bought it and had it about a week and somebody just totaled it. I was heartbroken because I think I lusted for the car. That was not good. So I learned my lesson. So I sold it for scrap. And a week later, I moved up to Oregon and went to work for a body shop. And it would have drove. Maybe somebody bought that and restored it later. Possibly you've bought antique pieces of furniture. You just couldn't resist because they were just so awesome, elegant. But in a very sad state of repair, a table or a chair that needed to be dismantled, stripped, repainted, or varnished, and put back together. A new upholstery. How many times you had an old chair that need the seats recovered? You recover those seats and it looks like it's new. You know, looks really good. This process I'm speaking about of being salvaged for or rescued from the doom of death or the total destruction. These were all damaged goods through neglect or the misuse or lack of use. The house was left sitting by an owner that died or moved or was forced to leave. Maybe it was a foreclosure and they had to leave. In some cases, for many years before someone came along and said, wow, what an awesome jewel in the rough. They purchase it and they restore it to the original glory. We see that. We look at a lot of HGTV things where people go and restore old houses. Love that. The car stopped running because of neglect or is just old. Someone, rather than sell it, just let it sit in the backyard, the side yard, in the garage, or an old barn until someone came along and noticed it and knocked on the door and asked the owner if he or she would like to sell it. Again, seeing a diamond in the rough. I know a couple people with diamonds in the rough sitting here in this room. Some people go antiquing and garage selling. Right? And find that one kind of piece of furniture or art or whatever it might be that can be brought back to its heyday appearance with a little help from their friends like you. Then there are those who, for lack of any other name, call treasure hunters that search out long-lost ships and salvage whatever they can of the artifacts from the disasters, perhaps on the high seas, such as the Titanic, lost in the North Atlantic, and after hitting an iceberg in April 1912. You realize that's been 112 years ago. We've heard about that all our life. But you know, it'd be nice to bring that thing back, you know, someday. Artifacts can be salvaged from such places as the Titanic and other disasters, but people cannot be salvaged as such. People cannot be salvaged as such. That's what we're going to talk about today. Excuse my voice. Just like the old house or the old car in the salvage yard, the antique chair or painting found in the antique or used furniture store, we, and still are, to a certain degree, damaged goods. Neglected and thrown away, so to speak, through sin. You might ask yourself how this came about. Well, it happened way, 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 way back when Satan deceived our first parents, Adam and Eve. Genesis 3:1. Let's turn to Genesis. Satan first destroyed their first parents, Adam and Eve, in verse 1. And when they sensed through away humanity away by following the serpent and saying to their offspring, you now have the knowledge of good and evil, so you're on your own. How many people raise their kids until they're 18 and turn them out, and now you're on your own? That's not a good thing either. You go figure it out. Just like the old car might be sold for junk or to salvage, we were sold under sin through Satan's influence. We are waiting to be salvaged. The salvage is called salvation. Salvage from the Webster definition, to save as a ship or a cargo from a wreck, to save material from something damaged or discarded for reuse, to salvage aluminum, copper, etc. To save things off of a cargo ship. Any act of saving property. The compensation allowed for persons by whose exertions a vessel, its cargo, or lives of those sitting on are saved from loss. That which is saved from a wrecked or abandoned vessel, or from or after a fire, anything saved from destruction. This comes to salvation. Again, Webster, the process or state of being saved, a person or thing delivers from evil, danger, or ruin. But let's go to the beginning of the matter, and how it's possible for us to have been thrown away into the salvage yard, the trash, and for the need to be salvaged or restored and saved from the ultimate destruction. Though this is particularly true of old homes and cars and furniture, yes, and us, to even better state than we ever have been before, spiritually speaking, of course. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was or became without form and void. And darkness was on the earth, on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the lot, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. He called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. This follows down to verse 24. And God set there It said, let the earth bring forth living creature according to its kind, cattle and the creeping thing, and the beasts of the earth, and each according to its kind. And it was so. Then God said, let the earth bring, verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image and according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the sea, over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Verse 34, and then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning of the seventh, of the sixth day. Then in verse, it says, now enter the promoter or the developer of the trash heap, the first salvageur of humanity, Satan. For chapter 3, verse 1, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat every tree of the garden? Eat of every tree of the garden? Eve explained in the middle, verse 3, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent, verse 4, said to the woman, you will not surely die. This serpent, Satan, is already beginning to put dings in the human structure by lying and beginning to inject doubt or destruction in the mind of Eve and the first man, Adam, thus condemning them to be the savageur because they rejected what God had taught them. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now, unless he put his hand out and take also the fruit of the tree and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to the savageur, so to speak, to till the ground from which he was taken. So he, God, drove out the man, and he placed a cherubim at the east end of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword, which turned everywhere to guard the way to the tree of life. So the first savageur was created, first savageur for man. God allowed this for a reason, that he will salvage us and make us even better than we were or are in this human existence. Let's fast forward here. Let's go to Ezekiel. Remember that God is constantly searching out the salvage yard for humanity to rescue us, restore humanity to a better end product in his kingdom. He asks in Ezekiel, beginning in 37, verse 3, says, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, this is Ezekiel speaking, so I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will put sinews on you, and bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. You can read the rest of the story through verse 7 on your own time. Remember that God takes all the time he needs. You know why? God created time. God doesn't need time. He created time for us. So we now can go to the New Testament to continue the story. In just over 3 weeks, in fact, I believe it's 3 weeks from tomorrow, will be Passover. God's made a way for us to be salvaged, calling or searching the salvage yards of humanity, looking for those who will respond to the calling that he's given us to rescue us, to salvage us. How? You ask? Let's go to Acts. I'll just read Acts 20, Acts 2:38. Then Peter said to them, "Us also, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, the original crash for humanity, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is the power by which the scratches and the dings can be repaired in our character, and we can be transformed back to what we could have been had we not been sold into salvage through sin. It will be an even more awesome salvage or salvation through our Savior Jesus Christ, as we're told in 1 Corinthians 15:21. Let's go there. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Excuse me. Let's jump down to verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. That's an awesome thing. Remember when I mentioned earlier that sometimes the restoration is better than the original because of the time intensity involved? Please come with me to verse 51. Excuse me. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. At this time, we will have indeed be salvaged to a better and greater form than ever before.